Welcome to the Special Olympics Wisconsin Podcast Athlete Voice. This is a podcast where we have plenty of different athletes from all different walks of life coming and joining us on this podcast to share their stories in a transparent way and really help explore what everyday life is like for Special Olympics athletes and their families. I'm so excited to introduce my co-host, Ed Castern. Edward, say hello to our listeners.
Hello.
And Ed, you and I know, are so excited about our guest today. It's the perfect way to end our year of podcasts in the holiday season. Ed, please introduce our amazing guest.
I want to introduce my friend, Katie Wisley from Marinette Special Olympics. Thank you for joining us, Katie.
Hi. I am glad to join everybody.
Well, Katie, you are just such a delight, and we are so excited to have you. Just tell your story, and then, of course, we'll be able to share with our listeners what makes it extra special to have you as our guest today. So, Katie, how did you start getting involved in Special Olympics? Like, when did you get involved, and what got you to join?
So, it's actually kind of a funny story. It started with, we were getting the mail one day. We walked to our house to get the mail, and my dog grabbed the newspaper because he always carried the newspaper in. And for some reason that day, he decided, I'm going to tear the newspaper apart. And in doing so, a shred of paper flew across the floor, and I went to pick it up, and it was an advertisement for our agency manager's Special Olympics. And I asked my mom what this was, and we talked about it, and I thought it was really neat to meet other people with disabilities, because in that time, I felt like an alien on a Martian planet that only existed in this realm.
That's tough stuff, right? When you feel like there's might not be anybody else you can relate to around you, right?
Yeah, it is.
And how, you know, like we talked about this before, but you're comfortable, can you tell us about your disabilities and just some of the challenges that you experienced? Because you and I have talked about the concept of hidden disabilities too. And so I think this is something that you feel passionately about bringing awareness to.
Yes. So hidden disabilities are very difficult, especially for someone like me that, well, now our town's considered a small city, but growing up, we were a small town. So growing up with a hidden disability was very hard because I never saw anybody that looked like me. I never had anybody to relate to. So I have autism. I have global learning disabilities, severe dyslexia. I have intellectual disabilities and then intellectual developmental disabilities. And then I have some mental health disorders kind of splashed in there like sprinkles. So it makes it very challenging because, like I said, you get very isolated. I kind of picture it being like a microorganism on a Mars moon sometimes, because there is microorganisms. And I picture that's what it feels like, because I really wish growing up I had people that I could talk to or be like, hey, it's okay to have a hidden disability.
Well, Katie, it's like me too. I don't know of very many people that have cerebral palsy, so I can't relate to a lot of people. I don't have anybody here really in Oshkosh. Oh, let's have a CP group. It would be nice to have a CP group. And I don't have anybody here that I know. I have friends that maybe that live in other states, but that doesn't really help me much.
Yeah, I can really relate to that. Recently, one of my friends that I work with, she's also one of my bosses, her daughter just got diagnosed with autism. And it's so cool because we were at a hockey game one day and we were both wearing headphones. And that was just pretty neat that I can show her, and I do work with kids, and it's really neat to show them it's okay to be different.
And what did it feel like when you started to attend some of your first Special Olympics Wisconsin events? What was that feeling like, and how did you meet people? How'd that go for you, Katie?
So I'll be honest, my first sport was not graceful. I did swimming. That was my very first sport. I would have been almost 12 years old. I might have ran on the pool, but I remember I had this amazing coach. Her name is Mickey. I'll never forget. I was literally crying on the side of the hallway, and she looked at me and she's like, life is tough. You can either get up, get back in the pool, and show the best side of yourself, or you can show the worst side of yourself. And that has stuck with me for the longest time. And through that journey, it was a lot of fun. It was very difficult because I was actually the youngest, one of the youngest athletes in our town. So a lot of my friends that I grew up with, like Paul Boucher and them, they were older, and I've actually watched a lot of my athletes pass away. Whereas that's something that's not talked about very much either.
Right. There is individuals with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities. I mean, you know, there's so many health challenges that you know athletes have, and it's tricky to navigate the medical system, obviously, but it also, you know, it's just hard when we see all of our friends struggle with some of that kind of stuff, isn't it?
It is, but I will say I've made many friends. We're still connected a lot of times. I see them at my volunteer jobs, so it's really fun to have conversations with them. I've done a lot of sports. I've dabbled in a lot of things. Sometimes I feel like a wizard while the sports I've tried. And then that slowly led into this journey of becoming Healthy Messenger ALC through Special Olympics. I actually found it out at a state games.
Katie, what have you learned about yourself over the years of being involved in Special Olympics?
The one thing I've really learned is that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to look at a teammate and be like, I can't do this. Get me out of here. Or it's okay to see something new you can do. I'll never forget when I went to my first Christmas party and I ate at a round table, which was one of my biggest fears as an athlete.
Just being in the situation of the noise and the overstimulation and having everybody being able to see each other, right?
Yes, it was one of my biggest fears. So I've learned a lot of self-growth, and it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to see life in a view of, like, you're an acorn planted and sprouting roots to slowly grow into an oak tree.
Wow, Katie. Oh, what a powerful message.
And Katie talked about swimming, and Addie doesn't know this. Katie doesn't know this either, but I've had dreams of me swimming races for Special Olympics, and I've never swam before in my life. So I can only back float, but I can't swim.
Hey, where there's a will, there's a way to learn something
new. I know. And Addie knows how. That'd probably be my next adventure.
Well, if anybody's got will, it's Mr. Ed, right? Our stubborn buddy here. As part of your autism coping mechanisms and management, one thing that you do that I am just completely inspired by is art. And we're not talking just any kind of art here. We are talking some of the most incredible, beautiful artistry I have just ever seen. And please tell us about just your journey with finding art and how you use it to cope and communicate.
So my art journey began at the age of 8 years old with my dad. He used to go to this place called The Barn, and it was like a guys club, vintage cars, antiques, amazing place. I loved going there. And they would have to enter their cars into car shows, and they needed pictures taken. Well, they weren't going to hire a fancy photographer for one picture. So lo and behold, 8-year-old me had a camera, and I started taking pictures of cars. $1 a car, I would charge. And I started in photography. By the time I was the age of 12, I had 50 cars a month to take pictures of. Which photography led into me trying to learn to draw, which I prefer to more doodle than draw, which led into mixed media art, which is one of my passions. Love mixed media, which led into 4-H Art Club, which then led into my passion for watercoloring and mixing medias together and putting emotions into art and using it as a form of speaking.
And sometimes with your disability, Katie, there are moments that you have where communicating can just be either overwhelming or a little difficult. Can you describe that for us?
Yes. So I forgot to mention this in one other part. One of my disabilities is called selective mutism. Some people have it where they can control it. Some people have it where they can sense when it's coming on and manage, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mine is considered like a flare. So triggers by overstimulation, rough days, or I can just wake up where communication's a no-go for me. There's no way I can speak. There's no way there's words. It is literally how I describe to people, think that you are drowning and you are screaming and no one can hear you.
Oh, that's got to be so frustrating.
Katie, is that like a couple years ago when we were at a athlete thing together? Is that why you couldn't feel like you Chad could hear you? You could hear Chad because you're like, can you please speak a little slower? Is that an example? Is that an example of it?
Yes, that's usually a first sign for me. The world starts spinning a little too quick. So art also became a way of speaking. How I like to say it as my paintbrush, my pencil, my paper flows through my fingertips and the words flow onto the paper.
So let's say you're having a really rough day. How does your art translate into helping you cope?
If I'm having a really rough day, I would probably lean more towards the mediums of paints more because I love
any specific colors.
So if I'm having a really rough day, if I'm leaning towards paints, I go for grays, purples, browns, and a dash of red because I feel like paint reminds me of tears. And there's a lot of tears that can be shed in a rough day. I would try to paint the image inside my head of what I'm feeling.
Okay, that for somebody who's not good at art, that really helped kind of get it from the brain to the paper. That made a lot of sense in the way you described that, Katie.
And that's actually kind of a cool superpower I have. I forget to mention, like I said, I got disabilities that are like sprinkles. I have APD, which is called auditory processing disorder. It's a neurological kind of hearing disorder. So most kids that are younger would go to therapy. That wasn't an option when I was growing up. So a lot of times for my brain to learn what words are, I see images as words.
Okay.
And that's why you need to have somebody speak slower to you so you can understand what they're saying, right?
Correct. Gotcha.
And Katie, but just that in itself, the idea that you are comfortable and empowered enough in your disability journey that now you know how to advocate for yourself in that way to say, please slow down, right?
So yes.
You found your words to advocate for yourself instead of just sitting in a, you know, quietly and not saying anything at all, right?
Yes. I like to think of it as when I tell someone to slow down, I try to think of it as if I'm using Elmer's glue compared to a thicker tacky glue.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, when we were talking, didn't you struggle with this for years because you didn't know about this right away? You had no idea right away what was going on, right?
Correct. My mom kind of knew what it was, but I never could comprehend it as a younger kid. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of self-growth. Once again, back to my oak tree. A lot of self-growth and new leaves popping up.
And how does that feel now? How do you feel in your body, in your skin now knowing that you can put words to what you're feeling, you have art as an outlet, you've built a community of friends around you that are supportive. How does that feel in for Katie present day?
It actually feels amazing. I never thought I would have friends that are like bonus family and bonus sisters. I never thought I would be doing this and be considered a real artist because in my brain, I never thought this because I've always wanted to be an artist. I've always wanted to find more opportunities to advocate for myself and teach people. And I want like somebody else to be like, hey, I'm not alone either. Hey, look at her. She's confident. She can advocate for herself. Maybe I can be like that someday. So that feels pretty amazing, especially because I work at, well, I volunteer at a Marinette recreational department. And I do a lot of things with kids, and it feels really good when all the kids come up to me like, Miss Katie, I just can't do today. And they feel comfortable talking to me, and that is a great feeling that I'm comfortable in my body, so they know they can come to me, which is amazing. I can do amazing things now. I do a lot on my own, which is kind of fun.
And Katie, now that you feel empowered, how do you empower other athletes to, like, if they're struggling, what message do you tell them in your local program, I can say it specifically. I can't talk today. Well, okay.
So how I would empower some of my other athletes, I didn't participate in bowling this year. I am hoping to participate in sports next year. But when I was in, how I usually like to empower them, oh, that is a hard word, Edward. Empower them is I usually try to see what's going on. Because a lot of times, like I had one of my athletes that I bowl with come on our girls bowling team when there was four of us. And she was having a really rough day. And I just noticed she was quieter than normal because she's usually really bubbly. And I look at her and I'm like, I wish I could be that bubbly sometimes. And how I usually go to them is I don't ask them how they are right now. I ask them, hey, what was your week like? What is your day like? And that just starts a conversation of, then I can kind of figure it out. And it feels really good to empower them in the sense of, like, she just had a horrible night's sleep and she had to get up early for work. And I was like, hey, I get it. You had to get up early. You're exhausted. Is there anything I can do to help? Is there anything I can do to support you? Sometimes the best way is support.
You know, how about ask him, how do you feel this minute? How do you feel? How did you feel 30 minutes ago? How did you feel? Just to backtrack, because, you know, they might have a difficult week, but they might not want to talk about that. How are they feeling this minute? How are they feeling presently? And that's something that I'm going to start doing, I guess.
Yeah. And, yeah, I had one time when I was at, no, this is off track, but this is another way I've actually empowered another athlete that wasn't even in my local program. I was at a state track and field meet, and there was this gentleman. I have a picture of him. We're always in the same division, and I see him, and I'm just like, eh, this is going to be a difficult race. And one time, he didn't feel like racing. And that was weird, because I've been doing track since 12. And I was like, why don't you feel like racing? You are the best. And I started talking to him, and I can just see that there was just something wrong in his soul. It was like staring at a tree that has way too many knots in it. And I found out his dad passed away literally a couple weeks before.
Oh, wow.
But what I found out is we really connected because the way his dad passed away was the exact same way my dad passed away. And I remember looking at him being like, hey, I know this is tough. I know you just want to probably go sit and cry somewhere. But your dad would want you to race. And I want you to race. Let's do this together. So we ended up racing together. I came in first. He came in second. And there is a picture of us, both of us together.
But you took the time to pause and pay attention and be observant to someone around you. And you were able to sense, because you took that pause, you were able to sense, maybe this person needs me right now. That is a superpower, Katie.
Yes, I like to advocate for myself. I like to help other athletes, and also like to teach other athletes how to approach their teammates or if they see somebody.
My dad just had passed away 10 days prior to the state games. And I didn't know if I was going to compete because I didn't know if I had the strength, because that's something that me and my dad did it for bonding, and we got closer. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And if I'm like, you know what? My dad will want me out there. I'm going to go out there, because if I would have just sat home, I would have been so down. And so us athletes, we need that competition. We need that support system. Yeah, we might not be having the best time or best day, but we really truly need that, don't we, Katie?
Yes, and sometimes just saying, hey, I'm thinking of you, and I'm here to listen. And that's another way I would use my art. A lot of times if I'm at a practice or a competition, because I also have some other teammates that I know from other teams, I always have, well, it's funny, I always have a sketchbook on me at all times. There's always a pencil. There's always a sketchbook on me. If I know somebody's having a rough day or just someone just needs to say, hey, you're going to rock today, I'll sit down with my sketchbook in between stagings and sketch out a picture and put just have a beautiful day and hand it to that person.
And you recently, talk about beautiful things, Katie. You recently created the most beautiful winter holiday artwork for Special Olympics Wisconsin. And what are we doing with that artwork, Katie? Why don't you tell our listeners?
So it will be put on a Christmas card. That is really, really exciting. Never thought my art would be sent over to a bunch of people. That just still blows my mind. And I am so, so excited for that. I also got interviewed by Kevin Brown, which was actually my very first in-person interview. I will say I was probably a little more nervous than a cat fun a rock and I laugh. a cat in a room full of rocking chairs in that moment. And then I believe Kevin Brown said it was going to be auctioned off for a fundraiser.
Yes, that artwork is going to be auctioned off as well in an upcoming fundraiser. And for our listeners, we're going to be doing a really cool social media campaign. So you'll be able to see this artwork coming up next week on our social media platforms. You'll be able to see Katie's amazing work. And it's such a gift to the organization, Katie, but it's also such an inspiration to other athletes out there to just to give it a try, right?
Yeah, I would say it's a gift for you guys, but it was a really gift for me in a way. For me to realize, like, hey, you can pursue art. I've only been taking watercolor painting classes for a year. But I've only been taking them for a year. Big shout out to Judy. She's one of my amazing ladies. She actually got me watercolor paper last minute when I did this, because I texted her and I'm like, I don't have any. But it's a true gift for me to realize that I can empower people not just through my words, but through my art. That's just amazing.
Seeing the artwork and the love that you put into it, and just the feeling that I get when I see it, the feeling I know everybody else is going to get, your love and your compassion just comes right through in the imagery. So again, talk about superpowers. You sure have them, Katie.
I always love when my artwork makes someone feel something. I always said it's like walking in a field of wildflowers and hearing the buzz bees and that feeling you get.
Another superpower potentially in some poetry there, Katie.
I love poetry and I love creative writing. It is one of my other favorite passions. I usually write on my phone or my computer. I taught myself to write because I don't really know how to write. I know how to copy. One of my favorite quotes that I always tell people in my sports or practices is, life is a mirror. It'll smile back at you.
You know, Addie, I could see Katie writing a book of full inspirational quotes with putting a bunch of artwork in there. Couldn't you see that?
Absolutely. Yes. Now, if you need an agent, Ed is clearly already your agent here. So you're ready to wrap.
I love it. We got some good collaboration going here. Good think tank.
How do you think your mom has seen this transformational change in you since you started doing this paint, this artwork, this painting, you know?
My mom is one of my biggest supporters. I know everyone probably says that, but my mom is a huge, huge supporter. And I remember as a little kid, I would try to do something and I would tear it up out of the garbage can. And I'd be like, I'll never be an artist. And she would always take it out of the garbage can and retape it. And I would go back and redraw it. So without my mom taking out all those artworks from the garbage can, without my mom making me late night grilled cheese to get through art assignments through things I've done, because I can be a procrastinator sometimes. She is amazed. I mean, I do so much now with friends and go places and do art now. And she's like, I never thought this caterpillar would turn into a butterfly.
And when you were in high school, did the teachers ever notice any of your art ability, or did it just come?
So
you said you've been doing art since 12, so.
I started doing photography when I was 8. I got really into art when I was 12.
Okay.
But I was actually homeschooled. So I didn't have opportunities like most other kids did with art. So still trying to make my way out there.
Yeah.
Well, you are definitely on your way, and I can't wait for the state of Wisconsin and all of our other social media followers to see what you've done, because it's absolutely incredible, and we're all so proud of you, but we're all just so grateful for you sharing your gifts, Katie.
I am very grateful for this too. This has just been amazing. You should see when I got the message for the podcast. It's actually funny, because when I got this email, I was actually in a watercolor painting class.
Oh, fantastic. I love it.
And originally, I wasn't even sure if I would take watercolor painting classes, but she's my boss, but she's also my best friend, family friends, the Lacys. The Lacys are a huge supporter in everything I do, so.
And Ed, we're pretty grateful for this podcast. This is our last podcast that we're going to be putting out for 2024. This was our first year we launched this, and How do you feel, Ed? We got through the year of this whole new journey that we tried, huh?
I think it's working out pretty well.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
It's been so fun.
This is so cool. You guys have a podcast. This is really awesome.
Because people are asking me, they're like, why can we do like 2 a month? I said, I don't know. I gotta talk to Annie about it.
Yeah, we're busy, right? I mean, you're right. So many people, there's so many stories to tell. I think that's the thing too, that we're learning is we're excited about 2025. We have so much more to share. We've got so many more athletes to feature. And Ed, it's been an absolute blast being your co-host, man.
I couldn't do it without you, so.
Aw, thanks, friend. Katie, we are so thrilled that you could join us for this holiday season episode and the last podcast of 2024. Thank you so much for just sharing your story and being so vulnerable, but also just sharing your gifts with us, Katie.
You are welcome. Sometimes vulnerable can be the most empowering. It is like a tree losing their leaves and regrowing them in a season.
And Addie, I don't think that's what people understand, because people that live the normal life that don't have any issues or disability, they don't understand what we go through on a day-to-day basis. So, and this, the podcast helps them realize that, because they listen to our stories, they can't see our battles, but they can hear our battles through our stories, and that's what's real important. And that way they can try to relate to us if they can at all. I mean, you know, because even though we are different, we're still the same.
Absolutely.
I love that, Edward. That is amazing.
And that's why we call this podcast Athlete Voice, because the voices and the stories need to come from our athletes. So we continue to be so grateful that you're just willing to share and educate all of us.
And like I said, this is an honor, and this is amazing. This has been so much fun hanging out with you guys this morning.
It is fun. I know. I can't wait to see you guys in person the next time we all get to hang out. But as we wrap up today, again, thank you so much to our Special Olympics Wisconsin supporters. Also, thank you so much to our listeners. You have helped us really launch this podcast strongly this year. And like we said, we cannot wait to bring you more amazing podcasts and stories in 2025. But in the meantime, if you are interested in supporting Special Olympics Wisconsin, volunteering, or learning more about how to become an athlete, please go to www.specialolympicswisconsin.org. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.